You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
A security incident at AirGrid, a misconfigured server in Texas, and a demonstration of photovoltaic system hacking prompt power grid security concerns. Updates on the Mandiant employee hack. Mr. Smith holds HBO for ransom, but says no, he's really a good guy. The shipping industry looks for GPS backup capability, and shippers not hit by NotPetya enjoy an increase in business. Google patches 10 Android remote code execution vulnerabilities, and NIST issues a cybersecurity workforce framework. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, August 8th, 2017. It's come to light that Irish power utility AirGrid sustained a security breach earlier this year. Apparently, a man-in-the-middle attack through Vodafone's direct internet access service. It was a data collection operation, not an attack on power distribution itself, but the incident is attributed to an unspecified state-sponsored hacker, and it's worth noting that attacks on Ukraine's power grid were preceded by collection. So whether this is battle space preparation or a more ordinary intelligence service sweeping in what's there to be swept up remains to be seen. And of course, infrastructure is vulnerable to more obvious, less exotic risks as well, including the now familiar issue of inadvertently exposed databases. UpGuard's Chris Vickery found a misconfigured rsync server that exposed customer data involving critical infrastructure for the city of Austin, Texas, and such private companies as Dell, Oracle, and Texas Instruments. The server is maintained by Power Quality Engineering. The data exposed, Vickery said, includes schematics, plans, and, of course, credentials. We've seen reports on the vulnerability of solar power systems to hacking. Recent reports that solar power systems were vulnerable to attack are on one obvious level unsurprising. Why should solar be immune to attacks when coal, diesel, nuclear, wind, and hydropower generation systems aren't? The answer, of course, is that solar systems are themselves connected to the grid. And unless you're truly living off the grid, in that fishing camp you've retired to in the Aleutians, say, well, you may not be interested in solar systems, but a hacked solar system might be interested in you. Research into vulnerabilities in SMA solar systems shows that a successful attack could well cascade across the grid as a whole. The research conducted by Willem Westerhoff, a security engineer at ITSEC Security Services in Amsterdam, took as its starting point the increasing number of photovoltaic installations on the grid, their high degree of internet connectivity, and the interconnection of the power distribution system itself. The European grid has over 90 gigawatts of photovoltaic capacity in it. Causing that capacity to fluctuate suddenly could induce load balancing issues that could severely disrupt the grid as a whole. Westerhoff also says the vulnerabilities he disclosed still haven't been patched. It can be a challenge to keep your business-critical applications patched and up to date. The folks at Onapsis Research Labs provide intelligence on Oracle and SAP security threats. We spoke with their chief technology officer, Juan Pablo Perez Echegoyen, about vulnerabilities affecting Oracle business critical applications.
This is not an SAP problem. It's a problem of the business critical applications, because all these applications are very complex with proprietary protocols, heavily integrated, heavily customized, very critical. And we started researching on Oracle E-Business Suite and a new research project that we started early this year. We went deeper into Oracle E-Business Suite and identified a lot of different vulnerabilities. One of the most critical vulnerabilities that was patched by Oracle in the latest CPU was an arbitrary reports download or arbitrary download of files from the business suite. We were able to go deeper into the web interface and understanding how it works, which are the components. And because of that, we were able to identify multiple vulnerabilities. And overall, we reported over 250 already to Oracle.
And what has Oracle's response been to your reporting? Have there been patches issued?
Well, this specific issue that I was mentioning was patched. A lot of the issues that we reported were patched. They are still working on other issues as well. But yeah, they have been, actually, they have been very responsive in these specific vulnerabilities. We reported them in April, and in July, there was already a patch for this one and some others as well. I assume they take this very seriously because of the nature of the application, how critical it is, and also how critical these vulnerabilities are.
And so you've discovered these vulnerabilities through your research. Was there any sense that any of these vulnerabilities were being exploited in the wild?
Well, that's the hardest part of all this, right? It's very challenging to identify if someone is actually abusing of those vulnerabilities in the wild. We have not seen any evidence, but that doesn't mean that they are not being exploited.
And so for those people out there who are using some of these Oracle applications, what's your advice to them?
We understand that the patching process in business critical applications is really complex. Most of the times they do not even get the change management windows, or they get a very small time frame to do changes. But despite that, the recommendation is to apply the patches, right? Go back to your DBA teams and make sure they understand how critical these vulnerabilities are and how important it is to be up to date in these applications in terms of patching.
That's Juan Pablo Perez Echegoyen. You can see why most of his friends just call him JP. He's from Onapsis. To follow up on the story of the 31337 Group's hack of a Mandiant employee, corporate parent FireEye's investigation appears to confirm its initial take on the incident. It appears to have affected one employee's online accounts, and any damage seems to have been limited and now contained. A tip of the hat, by the way, to Jason DeFilippo at the Grumpy Old Geeks podcast for pointing out that 31337 translates to elite in hacker speak. Of course it does. HBO is falling, or so Mr. Smith would have everyone believe. More Game of Thrones material has been released, and the attacker's motive has come into clearer focus. They're asking for millions in extortion payment from HBO. A letter from the hackers, they sign as Mr. Smith says, quote, "Our demand is clear and non-negotiable. We want," and the amount has been redacted, "dollars to stop leaking your data. HBO spends $12 million for market research and $5 million for GOT7 advertisements. So consider us another budget for your advertisements." End quote. Well, that's one way of thinking about it, we suppose. Mr. Smith also says, implausibly, that it's not about the money, that they wish HBO all the best and just want to become the cable giant's partner. Their claim of white hat status is, of course, not being taken seriously. The incident remains under FBI investigation, and most observers think the most damaging leak has been that of the script to an as-yet-unreleased episode of Game of Thrones. The shipping industry continues to experience material effects from the NotPetya infestation that spread outward from Ukraine beginning this past June. Not all those effects, however, have been bad ones. At least one shipper, German package delivery outfit DHL, was not hit by the malware epidemic and has seen an increase in its business as frustrated customers shift their trade from infected shippers to DHL. The maritime shipping industry is concerned about the vulnerabilities of GPS and is looking to reestablish manual navigation as a backup should GPS suddenly turn unreliable. GPS represents an attractive target for cyber attack by criminals, hacktivists, or nation-states. And even as efforts to harden it proceed, the logistics sector seems to be preparing for the worst in the form of regaining various old-fashioned kinds of navigational expertise. Google issued its August Android update yesterday. The fixes patched 10 critical remote code execution bugs. In the U.S., NIST has released its new Cybersecurity Workforce Framework. Special publication 800-181 was circulated yesterday. The goal of the framework, developed by NIST-led National Initiative for Cybersecurity Education, or NICE, is to promote cyber workforce development. The NICE framework establishes a common, consistent lexicon to describe cybersecurity work by category, specialty area, and work role. It also provides a list of knowledge, skills, abilities, and tasks for each such work role. It's hoped that the framework will help foster the emergence of clear training, education, and career paths for cybersecurity. And joining me once again is Joe Kerrigan. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute. Joe, welcome back.
Hi, Dave.
All right, so we are going to wade into a conspiracy theory.
I love conspiracy theories. Are we talking about chemtrails?
No,
because that's my favorite.
No. It's not chemtrails. It's not Bigfoot. It's not nothing.
But okay.
So here's the scenario. You're having a conversation with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You are not logged into any computer or anything like that. And you're just talking about something. You're talking about some product that you might be interested in. And immediately after that, you start seeing ads for that product.
Uh-huh. Odd. Because it's interesting because yesterday I had this conversation with another person as well.
Yep.
Who
me too, actually.
She was saying that she has noticed a trend in her advertising that it has to do with conversations, things she's not necessarily searched for. Everybody knows when you search for something on Google or when you use Gmail.
On Facebook.
You start getting targeted ads. But what she has said she's noticed, and I've noticed this too, and apparently you've noticed, is that yep. things that you've discussed in conversation are now coming up in ad engines. And you're pointing to a conspiracy theory mindset, but it's certainly not outside the realm of possibility, right?
It's not. And so Google and Facebook deny that they're doing this. Of course, we know that our devices are capable of listening to us. That's
right.
How, you know, the things like when you're summoning, you know, things like Siri and Alexa and so forth, they always have to be monitoring sound for that to work.
They have to be listening, right?
So it's within the realm of possibility. There was actually a story in the BBC about this where they contacted some researchers who they sort of spun up an app in a couple of days that was a proof of concept that this sort of thing could happen.
Right.
You could set, they were using an Android phone and it could listen and not use a lot of battery power and send the things that it heard to a nearby PC that could then be used to target ads and so forth. But,
right. But all you need to do is just upload it to some cloud service and
right.
you
but
got it.
What I'm skeptical about is this seems like the kind of thing that if it were so, researchers would be all over this. Security
right.
researchers would be all over this and it wouldn't be that hard to figure out if it were actually happening.
It is a good research topic, I think. I think maybe there's somebody out there working on a PhD that would like to take
right.
this on as their one of their research papers.
Well, and I haven't found anything other than anecdotal evidence,
right.
which we agree anecdotal evidence is not
evidence.
Is not evidence. Right.
It's anecdotal or it's evidence.
That's right. So, but there's tons of anecdotal evidence about this. People are
right.
convinced that
everybody
it's
has stories.
On the other hand, the sophistication with which these tracking systems work, I think could fool you into thinking
that perhaps it was listening to a conversation when it actually wasn't.
It would be simple enough to find out if it's happening from our phones listening to what we're talking about.
I would think so. So here's what I propose. If we have any listeners who have actual data about this, I'm not looking for anecdotes. I'm looking for a scenario where someone has actually studied this and looked into it to try to conclude whether it's actually happening or not. Please let us know. You contact us on Twitter. It's at the Cyberwire. Mm-hmm. Or you can send us an email. That's questions@thecyberwire.com. We'll talk about it here. We'll probably talk about it on Grumpy Old Geeks coming up this week. And we'll see if we can get to the bottom of it.
All right. I like that idea.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
My pleasure, Dave.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.